Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew, I'm of course wearing my mold. I want to, first off, before I start the show, as you all know, on November 15th, 2009, I started this wonderful journey with all of you. Doing this show, Sports Urban Legend, me and Mac, doing this show. And, I want to thank you guys for, going on this journey for 9 years. In a few days, the anniversary, in 4 days, it's going to be the anniversary. So, I just want to, thank you guys from the bottom of my heart, for sticking with the show. I don't know what's going on with Mac. He should be calling any moment now to come on the show as well. Of course, you guys know the number is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So free to talk about, any of the topics we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the Survivor Series that's going to happen next Sunday. We're also going to talk about, what's going on in Week 10 in the NFL. Of course, the Knicks, man. The Knicks are on a hot streak right now. And anything that's going on in sports entertainment, as always. But until Mac can find a way to, come through. It's just me and you guys. So, again, I want to thank you guys for your, your long support, keeping this show afloat for 9 years and hopefully for many more years. So, again, I thank you for, sticking with me for all these years. Without further ado, I want to thank you guys again. Let me just jump into the Survivor Series. And this is the 30th anniversary of the Survivor Series. Should be a pretty good Survivor Series. My biggest complaint was the title was the heavyweight title with Jinder Mahal being the champion, but fortunately, WWE remedied that with AJ Styles winning the title and becoming a two-time WWE champion. So, that definitely makes the Brock Lesnar bout, the Universal Champion Brock Lesnar versus the now new United States champ, the new WWE champion, AJ Styles, that match is a lot more appealing to see, for sure. And but before we dive straight into the the Survivor Series main event, which now has a lot more appeal because of that surprising moment, in the UK this past Tuesday. We'll dive more into that a little bit more later. Here's the kickoff show for Survivor Series. You got Enzo Amore versus Kalisto for the WWE Cruiserweight Championship. And, I think the same thing here. I think Enzo's going to retain it. By hook or by crook, he's going to retain the title. The title's been, basically been hot potato between these two guys in the past couple of months. So I wouldn't be surprised if Kalisto overcame, you know, Enzo's shenanigans and came out with the victory and the title. But, yeah, I think Enzo will win, find a way to win. The title has been, you know, in a tailspin ever since Neville lost the title for the first time to Enzo Amore a few months ago. So, and then which also resulted in Neville, you know, walking out with the title, you know, getting the title by, you know, sneaky situation, you know, by his sneaky underhanded stuff being a heel, you know. But I think Enzo will definitely retain the title. And, you know, hold on to it for at least, you know, another day. Then you got the Raw and SmackDown Women Survivor Series matches. Team Raw, Alicia Fox, the captain, Nia Jax, Asuka, you know, also known as Asuka, but they pronounce it Asuka, so we'll go with Asuka. Sasha Banks, and someone to be named later, which they'll reveal on Raw, is coming Raw, which, I mean, I'm hearing there's rumors it might be Paige, but, you know, we'll see what happens with that. But there's also the Team Raws, they're going to be battling the SmackDown champion, rather I should say the SmackDown captain, Becky Lynch, Carmella, Charlotte Flair, Naomi, and Tamina. So, and of course, James Ellsworth and Lana are going to be, managers for the team. And this is going to be the first ever women's traditional 5-on-5 Survivor Series elimination match. And I think Raw will win. Asuka will be the sole survivor. I could see Sasha Banks maybe staying too. That's a tough one. Because I could definitely see Asuka, Sasha Banks, Nia Jax being the sole survivors. But if it goes down to one, I'd say Asuka would be the sole survivor. So, yeah, I think Team Raw will win. Alicia Fox will be the first elimination, even though she's the captain. She'll probably, get the disarmament by Becky Lynch, like probably in the first 30 seconds of the match or so. She'll be the first elimination, no doubt about that. And Team Raw will win. And then on to the men's side, you got Kurt Angle, the GM. He's coming out of retirement again after his impressive, 3-on-3 tag team match with the other two members of the Shield, Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins. He's also gonna team up. Of course, that was at TLC, but on Survivor Series, you're gonna have Kurt Angle team up with Braun Strowman, Samoa Joe, Finn Balor, and Jason Jordan. And they will go head-to-head with the SmackDown's GM, Shane McMahon, the Viper, Randy Orton, Bobby Roode, Shinsuke Nakamura, and John Cena in a traditional Survivor Series match. But let me see. Let me think about that. I could see this, match going either way. I don't see anybody defeating Braun Strowman. So, probably Team Raw will win this one again. I think Braun Strowman, maybe some more Joe might be.
Hey, Will.
Hey, what's up, bro? How you doing?
Hey, man. Hey, sorry about that. It's a long story. I'll explain later on when I'm late to the show.
Hey, a pleasant surprise, man. I'm glad you got on the show, man. I was just, thanking the fans for all the years, for sticking by us, man. I was just giving my, my thoughts about the Survivor Series. So far, I said that I think Enzo will retain the title, the Cruiserweight. But I wouldn't be surprised Kalisto would win. I also mm-hmm. think Team Raw will win for the females, Asuka, or Asuka, as we call her. She'll be the sole survivor on that one. And Alicia Fox will be the first elimination, even though she's the Raw's captain. And I'm up to Raw. So, yeah, basically I'm thinking that Braun Strowman and Samoa Joe will be the sole survivors of Team Raw, maybe Kurt Angle as well. I mean, he's been riding high. Oh, but you know what? I just thought of something. As I'm telling you this, Jason Jordan might betray him. I could see that happening.
Oh, yeah. You're right. I could see that happening.
I was just thinking Braun Strowman and Samoa Joe, and then I'm like, wait a minute. Jason Jordan could betray him, his father, and be like, hey, you know, I'm not really your son. I was just using you to get ahead, and that could set up possibly a WrestleMania feud.
That would be interesting. So father versus son.
I could see that betrayal, but I still can see Braun Strowman and Samoa Joe still winning. Jason Jordan will cost Kurt Angle the victory. But, it cost him being eliminated, but I still can't see Braun Strowman or Samoa Joe being defeated unless they were facing a Brock Lesnar type person. So I think I'm still going to stick with Team Raw winning. Braun Strowman and Samoa Joe will be the sole survivors, but Jason Jordan will cost Kurt Angle the victory. Maybe after he gets eliminated.
That's going to be... That's going to be very surprising if Jason Jordan does that, if he ends up costing his dad that match. Him going against his dad, getting rid of that, a good guy, baby face gimmick he's had for a while now.
Exactly, because he's like a modern-day Rocky Maivia, basically. Smiling.
Yeah, that's exactly what he is.
Talented guy, but he's like an old school baby face, goody two shoes, good guy, smiling all the time.
Yeah.
But basically what Kurt Angle was when he first started, but Kurt Angle was a heel. But Kurt Angle was like a mock, baby face,
mm-hmm.
with his three eyes, drinking milk. But Kurt Angle was clearly a heel, but his gimmick would have been like a old school Bob Backlund type of good guy, basically.
Right. Yeah.
And now that I think about it, Bob Backlund was his manager early on.
Oh, right, yeah.
I just totally remember that. It just popped in my mind. But moving on to the Intercontinental title, The Miz with The Miz, Taraj, Bo Dallas, and Curtis Axel. They're going to be in the Miz corner, and of course, he will be battling the United States champion Baron Corbin, and of course, in a non-title champion versus champion match. I'm pulling for the Miz to win, but I could see Baron Corbin finally beating him, because Baron Corbin needs the victory more than the Miz does, and obviously, Baron Corbin has the size advantage also. But, Miz being the veteran, you got to give Miz the edge, even though Baron Corbin does have, in every other scenario, he would be the clear favorite. But I think Baron Corbin will win. This will be his definitive match so far in his career. I think this match will be
a non-title match.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, it would have been unification.
That's weird. Survivor Series, a major pay-per-view, and you make it a non-title match. That's so dumb.
Exactly. Yeah, get used to it. All these matches are non-title matches, man. That's That's the only bad thing about it. I mean, I like the, you know, the champion versus champion thing, but it doesn't work, one, because it's not a unification match, and two, most importantly, we know 100% that the title won't change, you know, barring something unforeseen, which I'll get into that very shortly about a possible title change. You know, that I think will happen, even though there is no title for title match. If you're reading my mind, you can see what I'm getting at. But, yeah, I think Baron Corbin will win. What do you think?
Yeah, I think Baron Corbin's going to win also. I mean, it would have been nice if it was for the title, but...
Yeah.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm. It is what it is, man. That's the only thing that's messed up about this whole title versus title thing. You know, the titles are not going to change hands. Then right now you got the Usos, the SmackDown Tag Team Champions, facing the new Raw Tag Team Champions, The Bar, Cesaro and Sheamus, after New Day caused the distraction with the Mock Under Siege Part 2, which... you know, Seth Rollins got distracted and he got the broke kick, which cost the two members of the Shield, Ambrose and Rollins, the tag titles. So as a result, it looks like basically the New Day and Shield are going to battle each other. But I assume that's going to be confirmed on Raw or SmackDown, but I would assume on Raw. That's what it's going to lead up to, basically, most likely. With that, I think if the New Day does face Shield, I think Shield would win, but I would be pulling for New Day because I think Shield, both got teams are, you know, two premier, factions, but New Day is just a notch below the Shield because New Day is, they entertain people. You know what I mean? They're not like 100% serious group, you know?
Yeah.
So I think Shield would win, but I think New Day needs to win more than Shield does. But going back to the tag team titles, Sheamus and Cesaro versus the Usos, I think Sheamus and Cesaro would win, especially Sheamus getting the broke kick. But I think they really want to establish the Usos more. So
yeah, I was about to say I could see the Usos winning this match.
I think Usos will find a way to win. Even though it would be more realistic for the Bar to win, especially with Sheamus doing the broke kick. So yeah, I'm gonna go against my brain, and I'm gonna pick the Usos to win. And here's what I was talking about, what I was alluding to a few minutes ago, the WWE Women's Champion Alexa Bliss versus the WWE SmackDown Women's Champion Natalya. Of course, a champion non-title match, and I see Alexa Bliss winning, and as a result, Carmella will cash in the Money in the Bank and become the new woman's, the new SmackDown Women's Champion. And that would be, and as a result, we'll have the only title change in this pay-per-view event. What do you think?
Wow. That's an interesting scenario. I could see that happening. So you think Carmella would cash in on that
exactly.
night after Alexa Bliss wins?
Yep. I think that's what's going to happen. Because she looks like she's been souring on James Ellsworth lately, highlighted by the super kick she gave them. You know, after James Ellsworth was saying some misogynistic things in the ring after, before he got humiliated by Becky Lynch, in a intergender match, which, I mean, it's been a while since we've seen an intergender match, but I thought it was well done. You know, Becky Lynch was, you know, really whooping his behind, you know. What do you think is going to happen?
You know, that scenario would be interesting, you know. You know, that match is a toss-up, really, you know. I'm 50-50 on that match. That's probably the only match that I don't know where it could go either way. But, yeah, I mean, I would love to see Carmelo interfere if Alexa does retain the title and win that match and see a new but then again, it'd be non-title because everything's non-title on that night.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. Everything's non-title. However, when you have the money in the bank, you can cash in any place, any time before the next money in the bank. So that's legal. She could do that.
Right.
Remember? And that would be the only way that a title could change hands at this year's Survivor Series, since it's a non-title champion versus champion matches all across the board, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And then, like I was alluding to begin the show, here's the match, man. Now, this was the weakest link of the whole match card. This was the weakest link prior to Tuesday night. This was the least match I didn't really care to see. You had the WWE Universal Champion Brock Lesnar, or should I say Brock Lesnar, with his longtime manager Paul Heyman versus WWE Champion Jinder Mahal. That's changed now, thanks to what happened on Tuesday night, because the Reign of Terror, which is the modern day Maharaja, Jinder Mahal, is finally over. It's finally over. A title reign that should have never happened or should have lasted this long. It's finally over. This title reign should have ended at SummerSlam against Shinsuke Nakamura. This is when the title reign would have ended. And then people could have been fine with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, we understand you want to develop, you know, a new champion. You want to develop a more of a, you know, a presence in India by creating, an Indian-American, well, actually he's from Canada, but, you know, a wrestler of Indian descent to be a champion. Makes sense. I get that. But the way how they did it, it was just too rushed. You know, they made him, like, they turned him from a jobber to, like, a number one contender, and then he defeated Randy Orton, held onto the title for too long. Then they ruined Shinsuke Nakamura as a future champion, you know, having Shinsuke Nakamura lose him, like, twice after he defeated Randy Orton and John Cena to get those opportunities. And had they made him lose, had they made Shinsuke Nakamura beat Jinder Mahal, it would have been like, okay, they salvaged it. And, you know, maybe he could win the title back in India or something like that, you know, which I think that's what they're going to do, basically. I'm going to get to that. But because of this, WWE being so hell-bent on using Jinder Mahal as a champion, you know, a long-time champion, it just really ruined 2017, SmackDown-wise. And not to mention, Brock Lesnar hardly defends the title. So, 2017 was a year of many promises. You had Bray Wyatt as a champion. But, you know, this whole, I don't know, the way how they botched the whole Bray Wyatt reign and Randy Orton's reign and then Jinder Mahal's reign, it's been extremely brutal. I mean, we have a little oasis on Tuesday night when AJ Styles defeated Jinder Mahal via the Phenomenal Forearm in the UK. And as a result, AJ Styles became a two-time WWE champion. And this was the first time in WWE history that the WWE title changed hands outside of North America, which is, of course, America and Canada, which, of course, you know, highlighted with, you know, WrestleMania 6, Ultimate Warrior defeating Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 6 in 1990. I mean, this was the first time outside of America and Canada that the title switched hands. And as we all know, the UK fans are very passionate about wrestling. A lot of, especially Europe, they're passionate about wrestling, but especially in the UK. So that was a great moment. I mean, this was the biggest moment that happened in WWE history in the UK since, you know, the Bret versus British Bulldog match. So, you know, that was a great moment. And as a result, now we have a real legit dream match. Brock Lesnar, the Universal Champion, versus AJ Styles, the phenomenal new WWE champion. And now this is a match I want to see. My mind is telling me Brock Lesnar will win, hands down. My heart wants to see AJ Styles upsets him. As he alluded to, you know, he compared his opportunity to David versus Goliath. You know, like, there was a guy who had a slingshot, and, you know, which is basically comparing himself to David. And, you know, he prepares to, and I quote, slingshot his way to the victory. So, you know, hopefully that happens. But, you know, it's going to be a phenomenal match. No pun intended this time. But Brock Lesnar is going to hold on to the title.
Yeah, of course. He's going to hold on to his title. This is a non-title match, just like other matches.
But I mean,
I was surprised when AJ Styles won the title on SmackDown. I was like, what the hell? I didn't think Jinder Mahal was going to lose it until, like,
yeah,
you know, early next year sometime, you know, possibly.
Absolutely.
But, WWE did surprise me with that. But, you know, this is the better match for Survivor Series, having Brock Lesnar fight AJ Styles. I mean, you know, this is going to be a much more entertaining match than seeing Jinder Mahal fight Brock Lesnar. I mean, we've already seen that, so, you know, it's time to give us something new.
Has he ever fought? I don't think Brock Lesnar ever fought Jinder Mahal. Unless it was like
a
long, long time ago during his one-man band thing when he just flung him around.
Oh, no, you know what? I'm thinking of something else now. I'm thinking of who did he fight a few months ago? Jinder Mahal.
Samoa Joe? No.
Yeah, I'm thinking of Samoa Joe. There you go. Samoa Joe, right.
You're talking about Jinder Mahal?
Yeah, I'm thinking about Jinder Mahal. Wasn't it Samoa Joe? He fought someone big.
No, Samoa Joe, I don't think Samoa Joe never fought Jinder Mahal yet.
No? Who am I thinking of then?
Well, Jinder Mahal fought Randy Orton, he fought Shinsuke Nakamura, and, yeah, those are, like, the two notable matches that he's had defending the title.
Right. I could have sworn he fought one of those guys recently, like, in the last several months.
I don't think so. I could be wrong, but I don't think so.
Okay.
But, yeah, I think it's going to be a great match, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, before we move on quickly, you know, I just want to, you know, wish everybody a happy Veterans Day as, you know, the day is about to end. You know, I want to thank everybody for their, you know, their service, you know, all over the world fighting for our freedom. So, you know, wholeheartedly, I thank all the men and women, you know, who, you know, whoever put on a uniform to serve this country.
Yeah. Same here. You know, I want to thank everyone who's currently serving or who has served. You know, I have a few family members who are serving in the military, so give a shout out to them.
Okay. I hear you, man. And,
I'm thinking of John Cena, maybe. That's probably what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, he did fight John Cena, right. And John Cena is, you know, is gonna be part of Team SmackDown. He's the last member of Team SmackDown.
Yeah.
But, yeah, let's shift over to to the NFL. You know, basically, you know, Jets are going to be battling their old foe, ally, former ally, Ryan Fitzpatrick, a guy who was, you know, their quarterback for the past couple of years. He's not going to be, you know, in Tampa, you know, for the Buccaneer. He's going to, you know, he's going to play against them tomorrow. And, of course, both teams, you know, want to get this victory. Ryan Fitzpatrick want to, you know, get this, you know, get this opportunity to be his former team. And, you know, the feeling is mutual. But the problem is Forte, he's hurt. His his surgically repaired foot, you know, it got re-injured. So he's going to be out of the game. So basically they're going to need to use that ground and pound with Powell, basically. You know, they want to get this victory and sack Fitzpatrick as many times as possible. So, you know, it's going to be a tough game. I believe they're going to be on the road in Tampa. So, yeah, they're going to definitely need this victory right here before the bye week.
Yeah, Jets have been playing real well the last several weeks. So, I mean, you know, this should be a game that they win. You know, Bucks are not that good. You know, Jets should score some points. You know, like you said, Forte is out. He's going to be out probably for the next several weeks. So they got Powell and McGuire, right? And they could just run through that Tampa Bay defense. And, you know, McCown has been playing good, you know, so I see the Jets winning tomorrow.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, this will be their second in a row. I mean, they scored prior to the Thursday night game they had from last week. You know, they've blew opportunities, you know, the past three games, you know, prior to last week's game. So they definitely need to finish off strong, especially as they enter the bye week next week. So, you know, I think they'll you know, come away with this victory here. And then
I think that's a game that should win tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you got Giants, who just came out of a bye week. They're going to be on the road against the 49ers, a team they have a lot of history with as well. And, you know, the proverbial anonymous player or players, you know, talking smack, you know, not putting their name on, you know, what they're trash talking about, you know, what they had to say about their coach Bob McAdoo, which, you know, basically, you know, he's going to be, barring a miracle from God, he's going to be gone, you know, as the head coach from this team. So, what's your thoughts on this whole situation with the Giants and them facing, you know, the 49ers on the world?
Well, you know, tomorrow they should win because the Niners have a worse record than Giants, if believe it or not. The Niners haven't won a game this year, so Giants need to get this win tomorrow. They have to get this win because the Niners are a bad team. But, yeah, I mean, the coaching staff is probably going to be fired after the season. Heads are definitely going to roll, whether it's the coaching staff or, you know, the general manager. You know, there's going to be a major change after this season because the Giants had high expectations coming to the season. You know, they're currently 1-7. You know, this is not what we thought. This is not the record that we thought they would have at this point in the season. So, you know, the heads are going to roll once the season is done. And right at the moment, we could just watch them try to win games. You know, try to win as many games as possible because right now it doesn't look like they'll finish. They're going in the playoffs, so you know, right now they're just playing for a high draft pick.
Yeah, absolutely. You think they're gonna start Garofalo, you know, tomorrow, or are they gonna wait until, you know, like later on to, you know, get him ready since he just got traded from the Pats. So
they're probably gonna wait. You know, if that's probably going to wait until later in the season, I guess. You know,
that's my assumption.
Right now, they're going to try to win games, try to win it with Eli, and try to, you know, get Dakwa, let him run the ball a bit. Ingram, you know, Ingram, they found getting Ingram was like a big, was a nice move by the general management, you know. He's been like their number one target since Beckham has been injured. So he's been great for us, and looking forward to seeing him and Beckham, you know, next year, being a deadly duo. So, you know, they have some pieces that they could build around, but yeah, you know, they just have to play right now for a high draft pick, and this offseason they're going to have to make a lot of changes.
Oh yeah, you're absolutely right about that. I mean, they definitely got a lot that they got to do to fix this this team. But hey, you know, anything is possible. Look at the team in you know, in at the Garden, the Knicks, man, they're actually finally playing good as well. You know, they won tonight, you know, by the final score of 118-91. They blew out the Kings, man. I haven't seen a team dominate the Kings like that since the Lakers in the early 2000s. I mean, they were like Porzingis had 34. This was his first game back after he missed the last game due to, you know, resting himself up, you know, from a couple of injuries. You know, he scored 34. Courtney Lee had his best game of the year, scored 20. Kenter continues his great play with the Knicks, 17 points, 13 rebounds. And, you know, the Knicks, they won four straight at MSG. And, you know, they're going to be hosting the Cavs on Monday night. So they're going to, you know, they're going to be facing a team with the Cavs, you know, who aren't playing as well. They're going to be looking out for revenge after the Knicks won their only home, their only road game in Cleveland, a place and a team they haven't beat in a long time. So, you know, that's going to be an interesting game to mark on the calendar. That if they could beat the Cavs in MSG, you might as well say that the Knicks is, you know, Knicks is serious now. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to be Eastern Conference championship team. I'm not saying that much, but they could be at the very minimum a sixth seed, you know, if they keep this up.
Well, they've been playing very well. I mean, Porzingis is scoring like 3 points every game now. And, you know, he's like a Dirk Nowitzki / Larry Bird / Tim Duncan. You know, he's a more fundamentally sound player this year than we've seen him in the last couple years. But this Knicks team is fun to watch. You know, they look like a playoff team. You know, they're not going to win a championship, but they're very competitive and very fun to watch. And yeah, I mean, if they could beat the Cavs at home, they're going to be making a big statement.
Oh, absolutely. They definitely need this victory. Not to mention, Noah's going to be coming back from the 20-game suspension dating back to last year. So it's going to be interesting how Noah tries to redeem himself coming off the bench, especially, you know, trying to not mess up the chemistry and the momentum that this team has so far.
Yeah.
But time will tell. We'll see what happens. You know, of course, another news is the Yankees. You know, they interviewed Eric Wedge, David Cone, you know, is interested in managing the Yankees. Aaron Boone is a possibility, you know, among other, you know, other guys. Who do you think will get the job?
Eric Wedge would be a good fit. You know, I think he would be a good manager for us. You know, he's managed the Indians, the Mariners, I think, right?
Right.
I think right now he's probably a top candidate right now above everyone else. You know, guys like David Cone, you know, and Aaron Boone, they don't have experience. So I prefer a guy like Eric Wedge.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you. I think the Yankees could attract somebody better than Eric Wedge. I mean, Eric Wedge is he's a decent manager, but I mean, he hasn't done anything, in my opinion, to warrant him getting the Yankee skipper job. But hey, the most important
he's
thing
been
is
around.
Oh yeah, he's definitely been around.
Yeah.
I mean,
remember, he managed the Indians to that postseason in 2007 when they beat us. He's been American League Manager of the Year that year.
Right.
He's been all right. You know, he hasn't been bad. You know.
I wouldn't say that. Yeah, I wouldn't say he's bad, but I still think Yankees could do better. But you know.
Yeah, so when you look, there's not that many guys out there, you know. I mean, maybe Tony Pena, I guess. But,
right.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have that many qualified people out there, so, you know.
Yeah. I think Dusty Baker is definitely better than him, even though I don't see Yankees hiring him. I think he'd take the Yankee job in a heartbeat, but I don't think Yankees would hire him.
That's a possibility, but I don't know.
Yeah, off the top of my head, I'm sure there's other guys I could think of off the top of my head, but yeah, that I think would be better than Eric Wedge. But like you said, you know, he's not shabby, but you know, we'll see what Brian Cashman is gonna do.
Yeah.
And now in the off season on the Mets side, I hope Mets can get Lorenzo Cain, and Mike Moustakas, but you know. We don't know what the Mets are going to do spending-wise, so it'll remain to be seen what's going to happen. So, you know, with that in mind, you know, I want to thank you, Mac, for coming on the show. I want to thank all of you for checking out Sports Urban Legend with me, Wayne Rameau, with Macaulay Matthew. I'll see you guys next time, you know, on Saturday at 11. And, of course, check out IMAC, which is coming up at midnight. Only on Block Talk Radio. That's Mac's show. So, again, thank you for checking out the Season 9 anniversary episode. And I'll see you guys.
Happy anniversary, Will.
What'd you say?
Happy anniversary.
Thank you very much, man. Happy anniversary to you, too, bro. See you soon.
Thank you.
Bye.
Later. Peace.